day.
You are listening to a podcast.
But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Hiya! Or this.
What the?
This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha ha!
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to a brand new edition of the podcast. I'll be the host of your podcast, the Ted Smith. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Oh, down there behind this. I mean, that's a. Now we just have his wife with the lovely dog. All right, down there in Austin, beaming in. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Ho, you're the dog voice out here just getting it. It's a little chilly in Seattle. It's a little chilly in Austin, but we're powering through. It's going to be a big year. Let's get it.
Up there to top left, beaming in from the desert, Matt Cobb, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl. I'm running hot. I had two U.S. eggs and two dogs before this. Got my Heineken 00 ready. Let's do this.
Yeah. That meal looked great. I mean, that's why I said in the texture, that could also be a tailgate day or a game day, man. Couple glizzies, couple U.S. eggs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, thank you to you two gentlemen. Last week we talked about it. What a great call to go to the NFC Championship game. I mean, I don't know that I've ever looked at something in retrospect and been like, what was I thinking? And I get it. I'm a nice dude. And Matt and Mike was all fired up or was going to be fired up, but it was awesome. And as soon as we got done with the cast, I was like, is that all right? And Mike's like, yeah, dude, don't sweat it. No worries. Like, I don't care. He's like, that takes some pressure off me, too. I was like, all right.
It was
Mike's
the right
got
call.
That dog on him.
Mm-hmm. He does have that dog in him. Everybody I've talked to is like, that's the right call. I even talked to people that have paid more the week before. And then by like Sunday, the cheapest ticket you could find online was like $750 or $800. And it was rows Ooh. Behind us.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
$800, that's a serious. And then you said before we got on the cast, I don't know if it'd be on here, that tickets for the Super Bowl are going for $14,000. Did I hear that correctly?
So the cheapest I've seen is like $7,000 just to get you in like the upper decks.
Ooh.
And then anything close to the lower bowl is like 14 or 20 or up to 20.
Jesus, 20.
Yeah. We were reading something on the other day, like you can get a suite for $1 million. And you're like, even with 20 people, that's 50 G's a guy.
Yeah. That's golly.
I mean, it's a corporate networking event with a football game in the middle of it.
Yeah, right. That's the big issue. Like, I like to see just what a ticket costs before. Like, if you're a season ticket holder and you won the lottery, like, what does that ticket cost?
Yeah. Good question.
Right. That's what I'm kind of wondering. Because, like, you see all these crazy prices and, God damn it, Cobb, you might have to switch that. That's a lot of lasers. I'm going to start to focus.
That's what's it called? Yeah, I gotcha. That's Pagoda, my favorite stage of all time.
Oh, Shambhala. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm talking, trailing off, and I'm just like, what's going on back there?
It's like, what? Whoa, that's pretty, yeah. I'm trying to turn it off.
There's a lot of totems
back there. Tougher than you would think, actually, to turn it off.
What's going to say?
It's a little more chill.
But what a fun weekend to begin with. Our buddy Cobb was in town, so I hooked up with him Friday night. Went back to our old haunts back at Buckley's in Belltown.
Oh, yeah. We hit Buckley's hard. That was fun. Just holding down the end of the bar for 3.5 hours. It was good. The energy was right.
Yeah. Super solid night. Also, I liked we like Matt, I don't know if you know this, but now that the mayor lives in North Seattle, he likes to stay in North Seattle. He doesn't go up north anymore and doesn't like to come down to like leaves work at 3 o'clock. So Cobb was happened to be staying right by where I work. So I got to his hotel room. We had a proper little hangout for an hour or two. And then it was like, I was like, well, you still got to get, you're staying down here. Like, let's just have him meet us down here. So we were like trying to decide on places. I was like, dude, let's just go to Buckley's like we used to. Credit to Buckley's. I do not know anybody that works there anymore at that one at night, but still great time, good service, yeah. Good food.
Shout out to Gavin. And one other side piece of the story is The mayor is texting us, like, what are you guys up to? What are you guys doing? I'm like, we're just in my hotel room doing trap house shit. Come or don't. It's like he was in Green Lake trying to get us up there. It's like, you come to where us, where we are. We have the power.
Yeah, so that was Friday night, and then Saturday our buddy Rob was back in town from London. So we I didn't see Cobb on Saturday. We had a nice little get together at the wine shop. There was oysters. Hit the Angry Beaver beforehand. I know everybody else went to, did you go out for the show that night, Cobb?
Sure did, brother. I was in there. So it was at oh man, I always forget the name of it. It's not Vulcan Steam Room. What's that venue called? Kremwerk. Yeah, it's like an underground, for people who haven't been, like a Berlin boiler room set type of vibe. It's a pretty heavy duty underground club. But what was funny is my friend's son and my former employee was DJing, which was awesome. We brought about 20% of the crowd was us, which means, you know, 40 plus as far as age. But one thing that was hilarious is this thing has multiple floors. So we're in the basement, but then on the second floor, there was like a furry event. And for those of you who aren't familiar, we know what furries are on this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, they're people that dress in like costumes or almost like mascots.
Said we're people who dress in costumes.
Yeah. So, right. Furries have like a whole look. You could be like a wolf furry or this or that. And sometimes they're kind of like, I don't know, a little suggestive, if you will.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's safe to say it's a social group slash kink, collective kink. I don't know. But anyway, the furries liked our music better than they liked their music. So they start coming down. First one at a time, then three, then five. Pretty soon, like granted, like I said, this is a boiler room style, like low ceiling, kind of sketchy basement. And then it's heavy music. And these guys, they're not playing tropical house. Like this is heavy duty, like
kind of like trance.
Gorgon City. Yeah, they do trance, heavy bass. And then there's all these furries in there getting weird, which all credit to the furries. I always show furries respect. They're some of the best customers we ever had at the Hookah Lounge. They rented it out one time. The furries are amazing, but the vibe down there was twisted. So obviously I was thriving. The boys were having a good time. A couple of people were sketched out. Yeah, a lot of fun. Great music.
So I had heard about the furries being the floor above you. I won't say who. I'm sure people that know us can guess. But one of our friends, I just said, hey, man, you be careful at that DJ set tonight. So you get a little touchy-feely. Just remember, you don't know who's inside those costumes, man. Yeah. Right? And look, to each their own, I just was like, just be careful if you start rubbing up on a furry, man. Like, could just be a dude.
Yeah.
But I'm not shocked that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. The vibe was bizarre. I'm comfortable in a lot of weird places. Ted, you and I have been to the ends of the earth, some bizarre situations. We both maintained our cool. I think sometimes that's why we get the invite, frankly. It was a weird one. It was a weird energy in there.
I mean, the only place ever where I think we might have overstepped was when we walked into Glam.
Yeah, that was an overstep. And the only I've had one. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just making sure Matt beeps out the C word.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, the glam. Do you want me to tell the story or you want to tell it?
Go ahead. It's a great story.
So Ted and I go to Burning Man. It's our first year. We don't really know what's going on, but we're riding around, you know, obviously a little intoxicated in this crazy dust storm, and it's blowing people's camps away. Like, we're just watching people's. Go ahead, Ted.
I would say also, we had seen their setup for like 3 days and we're like, they got a great setup, whether it's, you know, gay or straight, like we got to get in there. So we were kind of amping ourselves up for a couple days. Sorry.
Continue. Yeah. And we didn't know what it was, but their setup is this huge, a full corner lot with all of these like construction scaffolding. And so they do a big like gay Broadway show. But then they also built themselves an after work bar across the street. So Ted's like, hey man, let's pull in there. I need a drink. Like, okay. So we pull off our bikes into the, I don't want to say it again, but the glam, area, the glam bar. And Ted's so focused on getting a drink that he's kind of like working his way up to the front. There's sort of a little bit of a crowd there. I'm just kind of step back, sort of scanning. And I look to my right and there is a, There's a black leather massage table, a man on top of it in a tiny red G-string on face down, and then another guy over him with a car buffer just buffing down this guy's skin. And I'm like, Ted, hey, Teddy. Hey, Ted, man, I think we might and Ted's like just kind of working his way to the front, and I sort of tap him like, Ted, I don't think this is our bar, man. And Ted looks up, and it was like right at that moment that the record scratch hit, and like every head in that bar turned towards us, and there's not a single woman there, all super gay, and you just got the vibe like, guys, like you're in too deep. This is not your bar. And we just like slowly backed out of there and like, all right, let's keep rolling. But yeah, that was one of the few times Ted and I have been in over our heads.
Right. And me and you have sat in gay bars before and had a cocktail and been like, sure, whatever. That was the only place. And when I turned around and saw that dude naked, just with a car buffer on the other guy, because you were cool about it. You go, hey, man, maybe you should get a massage. And like, I look at that. And like I turn around, my eyes just wide open, and then that's when he's right. It just felt like they all looked at us. I still swear that one guy was just like, "Might not be your place, fellas," or whatever. He was real nice about it, but it was just like,
"Yeah, they were sweet, yeah,
right?" Like we're comfortable, but this is like, like I don't know. The only thing I can compare it to is the last couple summers. I always go down to White Center Pride, in White Center, their Pride celebration, because it's super fun. But there is a gay bar in White Center with the best name of all time, the Lumberyard. So I'm down there with my two buddies. My one friend's like, maybe we should go to the Lumberyard. And we get like two steps over there. And I just look in there and it was that same thing. And I was like, dude, it's Pride weekend. They're having a blast. Like, they don't need random like straight guys coming in and be like, no, we're super comfortable. I was like, no, we're not going in. We're not going into the Lumberyard tonight. Like, you want to go on another weekend? I'm with you. All game.
Yeah. Exactly. You want to go chop some wood any other day of the year. And the thing about our earlier story, like, and just like being comfortable, like, I played for a gay softball team. We were sponsored by a gay 5-story nightclub with a hot tub on the roof. Like, that stuff does not freak me out. But at Burning Man, it was too much. I want to weave in one other time that I was in too deep, which also was at Burning Man with our friend, the mayor, riding around on bikes. And we go past this big tent and you can hear some action inside. You can hear some music and there's two guys standing out front, almost sort of guarding it. And one of my little side exploits at Burning Man is a lot of camps are, if they get placement, they're like a theme camp, they're required to throw a few events. And sometimes these like billionaire camps will try to throw a secret event. Like they'll technically throw the event, but they make it look from the outside like it's not open to the public, and then they'll just have like all these European models in there and whatever, kind of do their thing. But one of the tenets is radical inclusivity. It means you can go to anything. And so there's no private areas. So I see these guys guarding this tent and I'm like, let's stop the bikes. We pull over, we're about to go in. And the guy looks at us, he's like, hey guys, this is a suspension tent. Do you know what that is? And I'm like, yeah, I think I know what it is. And the mayor is like, oh, let's just go. We'll just go in. We'll check it out. And the guy's like, hey. And he gives him kind of the hard warning, like, hey, man, this is a serious suspension tent. You guys can go inside. We're not stopping you. But I want to make sure you know what that is. And I look at him and I'm like, I say his first name. But I'm like, mayor, do you know what that is? And he's like, no, I have no idea. And I look at the guard and he's like, it's where people get hung by their skin. And his face goes ghost white, and he could not have pedaled off faster. And it's very rare that you see the mayor uncomfortable. It was so good. And even I was like, ooh, I was not ready for that out here in the desert. Like, you guys keep those meat hooks to yourself. We're going to go to a gay bar. Yeah.
Extreme. I watched a documentary on suspension back in the day, but seeing it in person would be a whole new level, just like the stretchiness of the skin and everything, like that's intense.
Can I hit you one level crazier? This year I saw an art car with a man suspended on the front of it driving. So they're hitting bumps, sand.
That's insane. I mean, look, again, I don't want to shame anybody. You got your own thing, but I'm just like, ooh, that would be, I don't know. That'd be tough to see in person.
That's the danger level of having,
not worth it. Well, Matt?
Yeah, that's worth having some guys outside the tent giving a heads up to fellow burners.
Oh, yeah. We could have been scarred for life. I mean, you're right, Ted. We don't kink shame on this podcast. Obviously, we're friends of the furries, but the suspension is heavy duty. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Is it a kink? Is it a sexual thing? I thought it was more of a...
Well, I mean, where's the line, right? Between like what feels good physically on your skin and, you know, erotic or turn on or whatever. I mean, you know, a carb buffer, if you're in a G-string, probably feels good on your skin. But, you know,
right.
Who's to say, Matt?
Sensual.
I will say, one year at Red Festival, we had like, God, I can't, what's the guy's name? Lurch? Matt, you've probably seen him before. Giant dude. He run like, they have like a little like clown crew. They have like people on stilts and this and that. Tall, big,
oh,
tall
God,
dude.
Yeah. Giant, I think it beard. Is Lurch. I don't remember the name of the crew.
Right. And his thing was like, oh, you could staple money to me, but I get to keep the money.
That's right.
And I was like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. And like outside of like a strip club, I don't know that money has come out of my pocket quicker.
I was Jesus, like, Ted.
It's like, I don't know if I need to see people suspended, but I will staple a five to you. No problem. I think five was the minimum. I was like, I'm in. And then some other guy from our work was like, dude, I have a couple tens. Do you want them? And I was like, fucking give me those. Staple, staple.
Oh my God. That also, how can that be sanitary? I hate to be that guy.
It was his
That's
staple
an infection
gun.
Waiting to happen.
Oh, no. I'm just saying. God. You could, I mean, you could hear it in my voice. I was like, "Oh, I'm in for this, though."
Oh, wow, that's wow.
Yeah, and like, look, I'm not into like, I don't. Again, no shaming. I'm not a huge like smacking. Like some people I know like to get hit, but that first year at Burning Man, I was on a side mission out by myself, and it's the middle of the day, and I walk in, it's all these English and Irish guys, and I'm just like. Pull up, like it's been like 3 days, right, Matt? So like now I'm feeling confident, right? I'm part of it. I'm just gonna walk in there, and they're just like, you know, what's up, mate? You know, and I'm like, oh, hey, how you guys doing? And they're like, ah, the American. And they're like, you gotta order a whiskey slap. So I'm sure you know where this is going, because like bars do it now. I had never heard this term, whatever. The bartender is very attractive, you know, wearing a bra and like just a pair of panties, and she's like, do you really want one? And I go, yeah, yeah. And she's like, I don't think you know what's going to happen. And I go, yeah, I'm all right. And she, right, gives me that shot of whiskey, threw something or threw water in my face or whatever, and then went, I'm sorry, and just smacked the living shit out of me. She's like, hug me. She's like, I'm really sorry. She's like, they should have told you. And I was like, no. Like, oh, you got me. But like, it's good.
It's fair.
And then I turned around, I walked out, I hopped on my bike, and I drove off.
I think you said I turned around and walked out and started crying.
No, I just was like, this one guy said something to me, and I think I went like, you guys are a little too intense, man. Just was yeah, like,
I'm not a p-.
Real man.
I am a man. Wow.
Was that guy That's in tears incredible. When he left? Who knows? yeah. So anyhow, back to this weekend. Again, thanks to you guys for being like, dude, take the ticket. Mike obviously didn't care. Our buddy Sean didn't even realize he was on the podcast. So then, right, Saturday was pretty chill. But I was like, man, I just want to get sleep. I want to be prepared. I didn't even know Cobb was going to the tailgate. Like, he shows up, the mayor's already there. I'd already had a few drinks and a fancy lunch at the Capitol Grill. They do, you got to make a reservation. I've never seen that many people standing outside a restaurant that fancy. And it was like a who's who. There was like some ex-Seahawks out there. And the lady running it, credit to her, she's like, everybody needs to check in. Like, we are very busy as soon as these stores open. But yeah, best French dip I've ever had in my life. But shouldn't shock you, it's a steakhouse. But then, yeah, get down to the parking lot. Vibes are super high. Shout out to my guy Jesse at his tailgate. And then dudes that I sat with to watch Sounders games for like a decade or 12 years. They happen to be tailgating right next to us. So for me and like Blatt and BC, that was like a family reunion. I mean, that one guy, BC, I love that dude. I don't think I've seen him in 5 or 6 years. I mean, just awesome.
Yeah, and it was sunny out in Seattle too, which is rare for a tailgate.
Oh, the weather was amazing, dude.
Mm-hmm. Major factor. People were hyped too around the stadium. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's what I was just going to say. Like, I mean, I've been to a lot of tailgates, but the vibes at that one, like, everybody was in a great mood. And Cobb will attest, when I say we have the premier tailgating spot, it is. You get looks walking in there.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, occasionally on, like, lakes or oceans, there is, like, one premier piece of property. If you're tailgating for a Seahawks game, it is literally, like, it's not in the neighborhood. It is the premier block. It was insane.
I mean, it's literally across from the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah, tailgated. I was going to say, you know, it's the NFC Championship. Got in there early. Saw the ceremonies and everything. Zach Topp was singing the national anthem. Zach Topp's a country artist from Washington. I think he's from out, like, Eastern Washington, like Spokane or something.
Hmm.
Which was odd, too. Because I love that guy, and I kind of was getting hyped, but he's singing the national anthem, so you can't be like, woo! Right? But it was, I mean, it was the first time I heard his voice in person. I was like, damn, he's kind of crushing it. And then those two F-15s flew over as he was ending the fireworks. It was just like, let's f***ing go.
Yeah, you feel it in your soul. You're just like, you feel the let's go, like, deep in the loins.
Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, just what a game. Of course, there was one Rams fan next to me, right? This brother was from Australia. So I'm kind of talking to him. And then, like, in the second quarter, he undoes his he's like, and it's a Lakers shirt, but it still is not clicking with me. And I'm like, then in the second quarter, I'm like, oh, you're a Rams fan too. I thought you were just showing me you like the Lakers. And then, so he's like, he's fine. He's not super friendly. But I don't know if people know this. At Seahawks games, they have a bratzuka. So think of a bazooka.
Oh, my God.
But it shoots bratwurst. So at one point, and like, they talked about some fan from New Zealand, and he went, I'm from Australia. Where are they going to bring me on the field? So now it's like 15 minutes later, that bratzuka is out there. And I just kind of elbow him. I go, bet you don't have those in Australia. And he's like, well, like, we have t-shirt cannons. I go, brother, those are shooting bratwurst. And he starts laughing. He's like tapping his wife. And he's like, they're bratwurst.
Oh, it's a bratwurst gun, mate. Yeah, try throwing that shrimp on the Barbie, motherfucker.
But yeah, what a game. I was in the other end, like not the north end. So I missed that taunting penalty. We were just like going crazy. Like, you're calling taunting? And then some woman in our row was like, my sister just texted me. Apparently it was pretty egregious. Like, they had to call it. I'm like, that's still a tough call on that point of the game.
Oh, yeah, and potentially game changer.
I honestly, at that point, I got very worried. And then, yeah, as the game was going down, when they had that ball, I was like, they get three first downs, we're going to win this. The Rams fan got up and left. Then, like, my buddy Sean sat next to me. And then, yeah, when the game ended, I mean, full disclosure, boys, like, even I was crying. I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, hugging, people were crying. We went online, and, like, you can find photos of you in the stadium. I don't know how to, like, and he texted me. There is literally a photo. You could see us, like, it's, like, me and him hugging, then, like, me, him, and three other people hugging. It's just a shot. We're both, like, wiping our eyes. He called his mom. He's like, talk to my mom. And I was like, I'm not going to say her name, but like, can you believe it? And then, you know, Cobb and I were sitting next together at the national title game, but Washington didn't win. This time, yeah, we're at a title game and they won. And just to hear him say, you know, you're, you know, NFC champions. It was just, I can't explain it, put it into words. Best decision I've made in a long time to go to that game.
I love to hear that. Matt, great call.
You too, man. Yeah. That's what friends are for.
Oh, speaking of the USA, that person texted me, was like, just listen to the podcast. Glad you went. Right decision. I was like, yeah, of course. I mean, say Michelle. Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, dude. And like, there's a few other people that are just like, oh, dude, you got to go to that game. And again, yeah, just electric, man. Like, I don't know. I could go to a lot of tailgates. I don't know if they'll ever be that much fun.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, Mike did the honorable thing and like, no shame, didn't shame you, no guilt, just like, yeah, man, it's the right call. It's like when you like someone's like leaving for war, you know, it's like he died so we could live. Like, get in there. You know.
Also, or go ahead, Matt.
Oh no, you go ahead. I want to hear all about this.
So it's weird, like when you just cup your hands and you're just screaming on when they're on defense. Like, I'm telling you, when you, I don't know how it is down on the 100, but up in that 300 level, I mean, it just was like we all reached the same tone and it was like echoing. And it was, I was like, I don't know if we're all on the same note, but it is wild. Like on TV, and I hope it sounded loud.
Oh, it's, that's all they talk about in the broadcast. They're like, you know, the San Francisco quarterback was, I mean, sorry, the Rams quarterback was having to get on one knee to even get, like, for them to be able to hear him. And they were like, they can't change the play. Like, whatever they call in the huddle, they pretty much have to stick with. Very few audibles. They can make little wrinkles, but, like, they can't change it based on the coverage and the defense. So, like, it really messes up the scheme. Anything complex, they basically can't do.
Yeah, and, like, Seattle fans are smart, right? And, you know, credit to sports people. Like, I think it was Softy, right? Legendary sports guy in this town. I think he had said a couple weeks ago, like, hey, as soon as they spot that ball, start making noise, because that's when the quarterback's listening to the coach. So, I mean, for the entire play clock, it was just that deafening sound until the ball was snapped, and then it would just quiet down a little bit. And then in the fourth quarter, look, if I have, I have a couple pet peeves in life. One thing is, don't shush me. Like, right? Like, I hate getting shushed. In that fourth quarter, people were shushing everybody. Be like, the offense is at work. And then I found myself, I shushed, and I was like, wait a minute, I can't be shushing people. I hate this. But it, I swear to God, when we were on offense, it sounded like you could hear a pin drop in there. And then when we were on defense, it was like deafening.
That's what's up, man. I mean, it is such a significant factor. I got to say, like, that's a nightmare for an NFL quarterback against a team like the Seahawks who are running complex defensive schemes. It is a huge factor.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, is I mean, it almost is like that team, like in that environment, like it felt almost like a college game more than a pro game.
The passion, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just there. And again, you know, the first couple Super Bowl runs, like, I was a fan, but I wasn't as committed as I am now. So, I mean, seeing it now, it's just like, Jesus Christ, it's so awesome. So much fun. Go. And then Pioneer Square, boys, I got to send you a video. So we went back to the tailgate spot, right? And Cobb, the main area in that corner where that guy had his food going in that white van, we're standing by that van. And I mean, literally on the other side of that wall, this guy was setting off like professional grade fireworks.
Oh, my God.
I mean, awesome. Like, I was like standing right underneath him. I was like, this is the greatest night of my life. And then like everything in Pioneer Square was packed. Hongs honking. I mean, it was unreal. I mean, I left Pioneer Square at like 10-ish. And like those bars were still packed and people were just raging, like, screw it. When I talked to a guy at the game at halftime in the beer garden, I guess technically it's like a liquor garden. And he was like, oh, I'm going to sleep for maybe 2 hours. I got to be up at 4 and drive back down to Olympia. I was like, God damn.
Oh, my God.
He was like, not worried about it. And then after the game, we were talking to somebody and he's like, oh, like, you know, this or that. And I just finally, or no, it was in the stadium. So he was like, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my voice. So I kept screaming and I literally just turned to him and went, I talk for a fucking living. You'll be fine.
Bring the noise. God. Yeah, that is aggressive to have to go from that to driving down to Olympia at 4 a.m. to make it to work. I respect that. Just on a fan level, it's like, you know what? We got this.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it's funny, as his buddy lived in Seattle. And I was like, you want a beer? He's like, no, man. Like, I don't know if you heard me. I only get a few hours of sleep. I got to drive to Olympia. And his buddy was like, F him. I'll take that beer. And I was like, oh, there you go, man. yeah, but just so much fun. Also, keep in mind, the other reason I didn't leave except for halftime is like my seat was, you know, it was good. But I was dead center in that row, right? So, like, one time in the second quarter, I set my card down to get a couple beers and give my buddy one. And then at halftime, I just brought two up with me and then completely forgot about the second one in the fourth quarter. Is it the post game? My buddy's like, are you drinking a beer? And I was like, yeah, man, I forgot I had it down here. You want some?
Let's go.
So speaking of the post game, what was it like during Mike McDonald's post game comments to Michael Strahan?
Oh, when he said we did not care or we do not care. I mean, the place erupted. I literally was like turning with my fist in the air and screamed, yeah. And it just as I turn around, I'm just staring at this guy and like his 10-year-old. And I was like, sorry. And he's like, ah, it's fine tonight.
Yeah. That's so awesome, dude. I'm so happy you went.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. So much fun. The fireworks, the flyover. I also saw Mike McDonald said, he goes, that's me overthinking. They're like, where'd you come up with that line? He's like, well, he goes, I couldn't hear anything on that stage.
Yeah.
And he goes, so I just, with my, he goes, in his own head, he was like, I need to speak loudly and just precise. So he was kind of like, I didn't mean it to be his mic drop moment as it was. He was like, I just had to get it out. Talk slow, talk loud.
Dude, oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I had the exact same reaction at home. No kids around, but I mean, yeah, that was just an electric soundbite, and that was like the loudest crowd pop I heard. I think because it wasn't just like noise, you know, like when the defense is out on the field, it was like just an eruption of everybody just cheering. And it was even on TV, you could just hear that crowd going absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And dude, look, I mean, I know a lot of times you leave a game or whatever and the lines are long and stuff. I don't know that I've ever seen a stadium where basically everybody stayed. And then, yeah, it took a while just to walk out of there because everybody stayed until they kind of closed that ceremony. I don't think anybody cared. Even just walking down the ramps, chanting Seahawks. I mean, you get out there. Blue Thunder was back out in front of the North Plaza. They're playing. Like, we went, like, some people left, but, like, a couple of the tailgates. Like, one guy had a gas fireplace, like a fire pit going. And I was just like, oh, these people are partying tonight. Like, they do not care.
I love that. That's what I love, like, about hockey championships is, like, both cities, they're burning couches, tossing them out the windows.
Yeah.
They don't care.
I mean, I can't even imagine. I mean, I remember, like, the first Super Bowl they won, I was in West Seattle. So I didn't go over to the city. Cobb was part of that celebration.
Yeah.
And then
I still remember that picture.
Yeah. The next year, I was in West Seattle again, but I Ubered home in the fourth quarter. And where I lived in Belltown, you guys remember that Italian restaurant that was in the bottom of my building?
Of course.
So, like, when I get out of the Uber, the riot police are already down there in full gear. They're, like, staging right there in their outdoor space. And I was like, all right. And then I forget who it was, makes that catch in the fourth quarter. And it's like, oh, we're going to win this game. And, I mean, you could just hear it throughout with my slider open. Then when they throw that interception again, you could hear a pin drop. I was like, oh, brutal. So this time around, I'm like, all right, I'm more pot invested. Like, I can't wait.
Man, that feels like, I mean, obviously going to the game was the right decision. That's such an incredible core memory. I'm so pumped that you got to do that. And also, I feel like this just sets the stage for the year you're about to have, you know?
Yeah.
It's like living your dreams rather than living your fears. Like, that's awesome. And, like, I guarantee you, not once have you been like, man, I wish I had that $300 back.
No. And it completely makes up for missing the year they had the tip game.
Exactly. Did my text land the way I hoped it would?
Which one?
Too bad you're not at Mike's right now.
Oh, actually,
oh yeah, I was laughing about great. That, too. That was a great text, dude. I never responded. I saw it when I was, like, working my way through the crowd, but that was actually such a sick drop.
Real quick, we need to talk a little brass tacks also, Mr. Cobb. I mean, the Smith Family Popcorn, they're all Patriots fans. They were already texting me. I was like, we got to make some kind of popcorn bet. Maybe we should have those boys on next week.
Ooh.
Wow. Dude, grudge match. I like this. I'll say this. First things first, I love and respect Smith Family Popcorn. But when it comes to a sports rivalry, you got to pick sides. There's no room for neutral.
No.
So I feel like, I mean, I really, I don't like to talk shit on another business, but if that's what it comes down to, you know? I mean, the Smith brothers shall not prevail. Like, it's the Seahawks game to lose.
You guys ship now, Cobb?
Just 4 times a year, my guy.
Oh, damn. All right. I was going to order some right now.
Dude, don't ever order. I got you, man. We'll hook you up.
No, but it's just the principle of, like, I've ordered from Smith Family Popcorn so many times. I'm like, this is a Cobb's week.
How dare you, Mateus? We had a traitor in our midst.
No, I would never this week. Knowing that, no way.
Wow, unreal.
Massachusetts businesses. I'll see you at Christmas.
I'll boycott all of New England.
Yeah, no Duncan, no Aerosmith this week, next 2 weeks. Right? Yeah. All that stuff. You want a lobster roll? You can go fuck yourself, man.
God, I already I watched that Matt Damon, Ben Affleck movie.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I watched The Departed last week. Never again, dude. I'm not watching The Town. I'm not watching The Departed, any of it.
I watched The Rip last week. Phenomenal movie. I wouldn't watch it in the next 2 weeks. Those guys suck as actors.
Yeah, dude. Screw those guys.
Full disclosure, though, The Rip was really good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think this game might rip this podcast apart, you know? It's like we have popcorn loyalties on both coasts. This is crazy.
Well, and a lot of the Smiths, right, because they still live in the Washington, D.C. area, are still Commanders fans. Except, and then the other Smiths, right, there's three of the cousins of 10 up there. They're all Patriots fans. I'm the Seahawks fan. Then there's poor cousin Tom. That's the Niners fan.
Glass.
I talked to my cousin Patrick like the week before, and he's like, man, this is tough. I love you and Tom. And he's like, why you asked to win? And I was like, God damn, I hope it's us.
There can only be one.
There can only be one. Hey, only one Smith can prevail this time, boys.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Seahawks, Smith and Cobb guaranteed victory. The boys out on the Cape are cooked. You heard it here first.
Oh, man. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back with some emails. What's Matt in the Cobb topic? All right, welcome back, everybody. As always, thanks to all our sponsors out there. Especially thanks, again, you know, this time of year. Sometimes it's going to be a little warmer next week. Your pipes might be frozen. If something breaks or they get stinky, call Pinkies. And God forbid something happens to you, go ahead and reach out to the advocates, man. They'll help you out. All right, Cobb, let's read some emails.
Morning, fellas. The last media that made me cry was the movie The Art of Racing in the Rain. My wife picked it up for a movie night a month ago or so. I watched the trailer, and it was sold as a rom-com from the point of view of a golden retriever. Well, it ends like all dog-themed movies end. I was bawling. It's the saddest movie I've ever seen. LARP on, Tyler.
Oh.
Well, don't watch Marley and Me.
You know what? I'm with you. I never watched Marley and Me. It's like, I know how this is going to end. I don't need that.
Oh, brutal. Have you guys? Yeah, I watched a documentary today that had me crying about the Austin Yogurt Shop murders.
Actually, you know what? Full disclosure, I forgot we talked about that. I did cry on Sunday, and then I don't want to give any credit to Boston people, but The Rip, that movie with Damon and Affleck, has so many twists and turns, good cops, bad cops, and it got your boy in the feels a little bit. I was like, I'm not crying on a goddamn action movie. I was like by myself in my home being like, we're not doing that, man.
Isn't that funny that your instinct is to suppress it? I've been thinking about that a lot more recently. Just like why we suppress our emotions.
Well, Sunday, I didn't care, right? Like right. It was fine. But like, you're right. And I feel like I'm pretty good about letting my emotions out. But when I started tearing up a little bit in that movie, I was like, God damn it, man. You're a grown man watching a movie.
Yeah, you are good at it, Ted. Hello to the 2020 vibe. Hello to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
I binged 6 or 7 weeks worth of the cast, and you guys ended 2020 vibe on fire. Me personally, I had my best year ever. 3 years after moving to North Idaho, I found my perfect lady, bought a house, knocked her up, and have a boy coming in a couple weeks.
Strong.
Matt preaching his permanent gratitude, Cobb taking action on his instincts, and of course, most importantly, the Ted Smith staying the course, being a rock for his people, and laughing your way through this occasionally fucked up life we all live.
Day one.
Occasionally.
Amen, brother. Day one listener here, showing his greatest appreciation and excited for the year of the dog, Stephen from North Idaho. Also, he sent a picture of these like awesome. I think these are like your things, Ted. The little what did we decide we were calling those meatball things?
Meatball pastry puff bombs. I don't know. What were we calling them?
Ted's Puffy Muffy.
Ted Puffy Muffy.
Dude, I don't know exactly what I'm looking at here, but it looks like he's got some sort of like, so it's in a muffin tin and they're like, it looks like croissant dough with, I want to say a meatball and then Doritos and sour cream.
Oh.
They look really good. I'm not quite sure what I'm looking at, but they
maybe he just took our idea and just added Doritos to it.
And sour cream.
Yeah.
Dude, these look pretty bomb. No explanation. Nice, Steven. He's right. 2020 vibe.
Real quick, sour cream. Underused condiment.
Oh yeah.
You mean by itself?
Dude. Yeah, I generally don't have sour cream, but I was making tacos the other day, so I got like a squeezable sour cream, and then I don't know. There's a lot of ways sour cream can work into your life.
It adds a lot of richness. It's like avocado, you know?
Yeah.
Adds a lot to a dish. I'm with you.
So that's the issue. I buy some of those little tiny single serve guacamoles from Holy Guacamole. So basically everything I've eaten in the last 4 days has involved one of those containers of guacamole and some sour cream.
Nice.
Like your boy was straight up just dipping deli turkey into the guac, hitting it with a little sour cream and downing it.
Dude, I know I say it all the time, but just like Big Brother, but instead it's just your life. It's just filming Ted's bachelor pad would be fascinating to people. It's like, oh, what's he having there for lunch? Like, is that a meatball muffin he invented? What's this guy doing?
Ted is like the bachelor crying? Life that makes married dudes wonder what if.
Yeah. Like, oh,
that's
my God.
The
he's
level
so well
you
put.
Do bachelorhood to, Ted.
Yeah. Dude, Matt, well put, Matt. Well said. Exactly right. He's like, this guy's eating, you know, he's getting $1,000 a hot dog, and I'm just sitting here mowing my lawn like a chance.
Like, yeah, it's nice. It's clean. It's tidy. We got a bunch of gadgets in the kitchen, but Ted's over there dipping deli meat in the guacamole. Like,
exactly, dude. Ted's going in raw, you know? Sure, yeah. You can have like your sanitized, you know, life in the suburbs. Ted's living it raw. Every man, like, there's a part of every man that wants that, you know?
Yeah. Well, and like, remember last year it was like a big thing. It's like girl meal, and it's just like a little charcuterie tray or whatever. It's like, I don't know, maybe there's guy meals too. Sometimes you just got to wrap a little turkey around of a piece of cheese and call it a day.
Oh, yeah. Dude, guy meal is like almost anything that you're just eating over the sink so you don't have to do dishes.
Oh, I love that meme that when that knife's just hanging on the sink, it's like, we might make a second sandwich. We're not sure.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I'm just eating like a rat over the sink. And Ted, you know what? Like I was saying, there's a little part of every man. So we live like kind of in a little skyscraper. I'm looking out over the city, but behind me, mattress on the floor.
Yeah.
Still got it. That's the heart and soul of this podcast. Bachelor life. all right. Holy let's effing go, Hawks. I'm so glad you made it to the game, Ted. Also, nice. I really need We Did Not Care as a t-shirt now. LARP on August.
They got one of those.
I was going to say, I think Simply Seattle already made them.
Exactly.
Nice. Quick question. Streaming services overload. Hey, guys. Wait, is this a female? Yes, it is.
Is it an attractive one, Cobb?
You know, I don't comment on listeners' aesthetics anymore. a week ago.
Your face gave you away there, bro.
All right. Is this the same attractive female that emails us and we're shocked every time? And then she says something about her husband? Oh.
No. This person may be married, but she is, you know, I'm married. You guys can decide. She's very good looking. Hey guys, I have a random question for you. Over the weekend, I was planning. Also, wait, when did we get all these attractive women listening to the podcast? This is supposed to be for neckbeards and basements, boys.
You're the dog, baby.
Let's go. You're the dog, dude.
Arr. I mean, some of the dogs went out there and wiped up these chicks. They didn't come here on their own.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, exactly.
You can screen share if you need to.
Yeah, they didn't find us through Violet Benson. Hey, guys, I have a random question for you. Over the weekend, I was planning to watch the playoff game, Go Hawks. But at the last minute, I had to watch my niece because my brother-in-law had to go to the hospital. He's okay now, thankfully. My sister's household doesn't have cable, and neither do I. So I figured it wouldn't be a big deal. I'd just stream the Seahawks game. The problem is, I already pay for almost every major streaming service you can think of. I'm pretty sure I'm up to like 13 at this point. Sorry, I lost the email. And I still couldn't watch the game without signing up for yet another service for $20. I have serious streaming fatigue. It's so frustrating, especially because I love sports. Baseball, football, and Formula One are my top three. And somehow they're always locked behind a different platform. Most days I'm stuck watching highlights after the fact, and we all know that's not the same. So my question is, are you also fed up with all the streaming services? And if it were up to you, how would you fix this? No pressure to respond if you don't want to. I just feel like the three of you would have some strong opinions. Thanks. We do. Ted, what do you got?
I mean, look, if you like sports, you got to have cable, right? And obviously, look, I do commercials for Xfinity, but the amount of sports I watch, I thoroughly enjoy having cables. They're on there. With that said, I will now buy Apple this year because they have F1. Most of the streaming services, like Netflix, I always had, it's Netflix, but like, what? I have Peacock Premium just because of the English Premier League. I would also recommend, like, you can still go out and just get an HD antenna. And like, even because I want to say the first Seahawks game was on a streaming service, but one good thing the NFL really does, I mean, they do a few good things, but they'll always show the game in your local market. Whatever streaming service it's on, if you're local, you'll get it. So, like, I don't know, maybe just throw in an HD antenna so you can get, you know, CBS, ABC, and NBC. And Fox.
That's not a bad call. So, boys, check the chat if you want to see what we're talking about here. Or Matt, what do you got?
First of all, I hear you. I understand. I empathize.
With what, Matt?
I was just using chick language. the stream fatigue is super real for sure, and it's a hassle to watch the NFL. I mean, this year, let's see, I watched like the first handful of games because down here they're not on the like. If you just have Paramount Plus or the whatever Fox streams on, it'll just show whatever's on locally. And the Seahawks aren't on locally down here a lot. So right. I have some pirate sites that I'll go to occasionally and find those like at the beginning of the season. And then YouTube Premium, like, way drops the price after like week 8, and they had some nationally televised games, so then I started paying for that so that I could just watch every Hawks game and not have to worry about the quality of the feed. And so that's something that does, because people are like, oh, I don't want to talk about the illegal feeds, or people are like, I watch it for free, and they brag about it. The illegal feeds suck, dude. They're blurry, they cut out, the audio's choppy, like, it's just, it's a mess. It's not a good viewing experience. It's worth the money. But yeah, it's definitely gotten out of hand, and like whatever the NFL package costs at the beginning of the season from YouTube always feels a little excessive. But at a certain point, you're a grown up, just do it. Like, football makes you happy. It's nice to have it. It's nice to have it on the phone. With the NFL package on YouTube, they do the condensed replays that you can watch afterwards. And it's like every single play, with none of the slowness. Like, it's like 40 minutes of just every play. And so I really liked that. I'll probably just pay full price at the beginning of the season next year because of that and the streaming quality. So, but yeah, I just couldn't bring myself to fork over $300 or whatever at the start of the season when yeah, it's already Netflix, Hulu, and all that other stuff. It's out of hand.
Yeah.
I kind of wish sometimes they let you do it a la carte, too. Right? Because, like, I've signed up. What's that?
That would be bad for them.
I know, but like way back in the day, ESPN, if you just had cable, like if I wanted to watch a Maryland game at home and not go to a bar to watch it, like you literally was like $15 and you can watch this game. And I mean, I would do it all the time because I was like, screw it, I want to watch this game. But yeah, the streaming services, that, I mean, again, when Netflix came out, it was like, all right, sweet, there's enough stuff on here. But then all the networks kind of took back their big shows. So it is crazy. Like at this point, it's like, well, you might as well just pay for cable at this point.
Yeah.
One, cable has its issues too. I mean, this listener didn't put her name, but listener, I'm with you. The cable, the streaming services are driving me insane. It feels like every week I'm signing up for a different one and it's like $39 a month and I want to watch one hour thing and never hear from, you know, Hulu.com again or whatever it is. And so, Matt, is that your reaction to what I dropped in the thread?
Yeah, I only saw the thumbnail. I was just zooming in and making it bigger, and wow.
Okay, so safe to say the boys are impressed with this listener. Ted also responded in the chat. Okay, don't judge me, gentlemen. Also, you're the dog. Now we have hot listeners. Good for us.
Shout out to all the dogs, marrying them up.
Boys. But yeah, I'm totally with you. Streaming services overload. Fight the power. If I could tear it all down today, I would. Matt, those streams were only bad because they chase down all the people and put them, you know, and disrupt the good streams. So
yeah,
you know,
they get too popular. Like in the playoffs, forget about it. I'm on a Sling TV subscription. You don't get all of them, and so like ESPN had games, and they have all the college games, and towards the end of the season, when there's just a few games and everyone's watching them, all those streams suck. In the beginning of the year, people are split up. There's people watching the Dolphins, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, whatever. Like, and so there's less people on each game. It's just those two teams' fans. But like in the playoffs, everybody's watching the same streams, and it's a shit show.
Now, Matt, this is classic top-down politics. They get the poor and middle class to fight with each other. They've got you fighting with all the other people watching, and the rich people run off with all the money, man.
That's what, like, I'm saying.
The only reason, dude, they gave you the disease and then sold you the cure. Those streams are possible, okay? It's only because they're hunting them down like dogs that we don't get to watch the Seahawks for free. I understand that they have a product. They got stuff they got to do, but it does feel a little dystopian that I'm subscribed to 9 streaming services, total bill way more than my cable ever was. Now, granted, that's not actually true. I mean, I'm like 1 or 2 at a time, but like throughout a year, I probably subscribe to 4 different ones, and it's so annoying.
You cycle too?
Crazy. What?
You cycle through them too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like I end subscription when the game ends, I cancel my subscription. Yeah. Like 1 hour subscriptions, dude. I'm ruthless.
I've signed up for one because I wanted to watch a boxing match and they got me for like 3 months. It's like, well, you can't. And I was like, damn it. They're just like, dude, Jesus, exactly, man. Like, I just want to watch the Once More event.
Dude, I like how you like made that like a confession. You're like, well, one time I did sign up, but I didn't even want Girls Gone Wild. I just wanted to see if it would show up in the mailbox. And it did.
I need to know how naughty these nurses were. Why are they always from Jersey?
Oh, man. Oh, also, listener, I'll just say this. I'm not going to say your name or anything, but if you have any interest in going on a date with Ted, I'm trying to hook him up this year. You're the dog. Email me back. I'll be in touch. Goodbye.
All right, let's check in with What's Matt and Nate.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to What's Matt and
Nate, hey, guys. What's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out with What's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to What's Matt and
Nate, hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out with What's Matt and Nate.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it was a
somebody had to do it.
That was a great move. We were all thinking it. All 3 of us were thinking it. Don't tell us you weren't, Ted.
Oh, I'm just trying to see if I actually already know this person.
Probably. Who knows?
Yeah. We already talked a bunch about the Seahawks game. On the final fourth down of the Rams, I had like three quarters of a non-alcoholic Corona left, and I just like happened to be taking a sip of it as they were getting ready to snap it. And I just kept drinking until I chugged the whole thing. The last time I think I chugged a non-alcoholic beer like that was when we shotgunned those PBRs, Ted.
Yeah.
Right? Because we didn't shotgun any Michelob Zeros while we were while you were down here, did we?
I thought we might have chugged one. Maybe we didn't, but you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, but either way, I've chugged a couple over the years, and I know I shotgunned one with you back at in Oregon that one time visiting our friend. But yeah, it was just pure like reflex of just stress and just kept going. And yeah, shout out Devin Witherspoon. That was sick. So yeah, a lot of fun with the game. Thursday night, we went to a play at that theater that I've been going to called One Man, Two Governors. It was really like silly and over the top and kind of slapsticky, but just a lot of fun. Tyler made a great steak that night. We get all our steak from the farm up the hill that like, you know, it's all pasture raised. Like it's a real ass farm. They take care of their soil. It's regenerative and all this stuff. So we get our produce and meat from there, and their steaks are like next level. So that was a fun little date night steak and a show. Friday, man, I was so goddamn stressed about that game like all weekend. I'm sure it was, shout out to my girlfriend, I'm sure I was not the most fun to be around, but it was just really consuming and intense, and it was fun to get swept up in, but I just wasn't as available for other things as much as I might have otherwise been.
Dude, honestly, the being at the tailgate and seeing so many other Seahawks fans that were confident actually calmed me down.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I was pretty nervous. Like Friday, Saturday, even Sunday, eating lunch. It's just me and two dudes, and we're like, I don't know about this, I don't know about that. By the time we got to that parking lot and everybody's all pumped up, like by the time I walked in, I was like, all right, we're gonna win this game. Like, I mean, honestly, I rewatched it last night. I don't know that I realized how, like, it would dawn on me when we were in there, but we're so caught up in the moment. I'm just like, oh my God, we almost lost that game like three times.
Yeah. Yeah. That, like, it was such a roller coaster, man. Shout out Sam Darnold. And yeah, I just did not. I ran through every scenario in my head. I didn't see an offensive shootout where Stafford torches us again and Darnold outduels him. As how it would go, like
that. I know. And like, trust me, I've hated on Sam Darnold more than anybody this year. I finally said today, I was like, maybe he is just good.
100%, dude. Dick Hammer's grandson, put some respect on his name.
That's the only bad thing if they win this Super Bowl, because I gotta smoke a pack of Marlboro Reds.
You're up to a pack now, man. Me and Sean just have one each.
That's what I forgot. Sean goes, you had so little faith in the middle of the season, you go, and I'll smoke a pack of them. But trust me, they win that game, I am lighting up a Marb Red, going out to celebrate and being like, anybody want a Marb Red? His grandson just won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Hey, Grandpa's the Marlboro man. Like, all these people, I've never had one before. Let's try it. Yeah, that'd be so sick. Yeah, it was, oh man, it was such a fun game. Saturday, like, I was just teeming with anxiety, like, because I had work a lot. So then, like, once I got done with work Saturday, it all set in that, like, now it's the start of the weekend that finishes with the NFC Championship. And it was just like, my heart was racing, my mind wouldn't shut up, and like, it was just insane. But it was fun. Like, that's what you do as a sports fan, and that's like, you hope it gets that consuming, because that means your team's doing well and in the big game. So, yeah, Saturday was also the day Netflix had the skyscraper event where Alex Honnold like free climbed a skyscraper in Taipei. Yeah. And so that was a welcome, like, distraction for an hour and a half or 2 hours. I'd already, like, read some stuff with a bunch of climbers being like, dude, that is really easy for a man of his caliber. Like, so, but it was still, you know, once he's up there, you're like, damn, dude, this is crazy. And, like, some of those shots were so epic. So I thought it was pretty fun. And it was, you know, it was intense enough to keep my mind occupied. So I wasn't just, like, refreshing Twitter to find more articles about the NFC Championship, like, for 2 hours. I was like, all right, Alex Honnold, nice job, dude. And, yeah.
I kind of forgot about it because he was supposed to do it Friday and they postponed it because of winds. So then I completely forgot about it.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even know. Like, I remember hearing about it months ago. I was actually on Twitter and Travis Thompson tweeted something about it. And I was like, was that today? And I checked on Netflix and it's like, yeah, it starts in 20 minutes or something. And I didn't realize it was supposed to be the day before. Like, I would have missed it if it didn't get delayed. But yeah, timed out pretty good. Was pretty exciting. And you know, the weekend was all about that Hawks game. And we made some wings. I made wings. Tyler made dip. Had like 18 non-alcoholic beers on deck. And
nice.
We went through 17 of them. I just had the last one at the start of this cast. So it was a good weekend.
Oh, goddamn, that was a hell of a weekend. Go Hawks. Guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
All right, boys, I got to ask. We're at a fork in the road. I have two prepared. Do you want to go positive or negative?
Positive.
Positive. All right. Sunday, I'm in the parking lot, tailgating the Seahawks game. Minding my own business, but looking good. Chatting with this random woman. She was cool. She's probably, I don't know, mid-50s, late-50s. And she stops me and she's like, wow, how old are you? You have an amazing hairline. And I'm like, I love you for saying that. I got a hair transplant last, whatever it was, I don't know, June. And she's like, wow, it looks so good. It looks so natural, whatever. So we start talking about it. And I'm like, yeah, you're actually, you know, people, when I tell them, they say it looks good, but the first person just compliment it naturally. So cop topic this week, what's a compliment that you still remember years later? And I've noticed guys remember compliments a lot longer than women do because they get them so rarely. But what's a compliment you received maybe years ago, maybe decades ago, that you still remember years later? Feel free to email us, email@thepodcast.com.
I mean, I know it's supposed to be in the past, but recently in December, going to that party I went to with you guys, with all like that Burning Man crew, and I know a couple of those guys from that camp, but I don't know everybody, and I didn't know like kind of the head woman. But like we were there for a couple hours or something, and like two separate people, her specifically, were just like, I just love your energy. And I was like, oh, thanks. Like I thought I was just out here kind of vibing, doing my thing. Like didn't realize I was giving off the scent or the, you know, the vibes too.
Yeah, dude, pheromones. Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's not even March. I'm not even in the rut yet.
Jesus.
St. Patrick's Day is when I tend to be in the rut.
All right. Mateus?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know about anything specific. I was gonna say,
we can flip it. What's the compliment you get the most often?
Probably my biceps.
Those things are, yeah, you got guys, yeah, too.
I get a lot of compliments about my biceps at work. I just remember my first season down here. A lot of the people have worked with trainers in other places. They have, you know, they have money, you know, and so they can afford it. And a lot of them have worked with like multiple trainers, and trainers have worked with athletes and all these, like, they all like to brag about how good their other trainers are. And a lot of them, you know, they're just like, you're the best I've ever worked with. You know, I've been with trainers for 30 years or whatever. And so that was really like confidence inspiring at the start of this kind of crazy endeavor as I was undertaking it, and like had kind of put all my eggs in the basket and was definitely like prone to some self-doubt, and just getting fired up and reassured from them. And you know, they've been you know, they've been around the block with various trainers, and so their seal of approval, you know, definitely hit home and reassured me, and now I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, I brought it up too. I think I said brought up the cast, but like when we ran into your one client at what's the famous bar and restaurant?
I'm playing golf with that guy this weekend.
Yeah, I remember, like, I told you the next day or that night, I told you a couple times, I was like, dude, that guy doesn't like you because you're his trainer. Like, that guy just likes you.
Yeah.
And, like, I just think that's a huge compliment, especially for personal trainers, right? Like, you know, sometimes it's just a dude or a woman that works you out. I was like, that guy, like he likes you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and the guy that made the tequila are playing down at my dad's club with me and my dad this Sunday. And yeah, I'm pretty pumped to take him down and play around with Mitch down there, and we'll have a good time.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, great weekend, sounds like, by all the boys involved. Seahawks won. You're the dog. I was out there barking, getting it done. For MCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Arr, arr. Cheers.